This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. Here we are, beginning of the day two convention. Is that right? This is day two, three. This is day three. Thank you. Yes, but I have finished my coffee, and we just, as I mentioned, there are three events, big three events. In the past, the IBM has had different things we've kind of toyed with. One was a six-pack, which had six different kinds of things, and you had a choice of whatever to choose in the morning and afternoon. But they've gone back then still to the big three events, in which that you are attending different things depending upon the color of your lanyard that you're wearing, whether it's going to be a it doesn't matter. We're different colors, so this way you go from one room to the next each day to hear something. And yesterday I had a chance to hear Chris and Neil. I believe we talked about that in yesterday's podcast, but today I was watching the performance of Kayla Drescher, and she was a bar magician and actually still does bar magic at W.C. Fields Bar over at the Magic Castle. And so I was sitting next to my good friend, and so I thought it'd be interesting to kind of catch up with Mr. Ken Scott. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. It's too early, isn't it?
It is early. I was kind of giving a mouthful, so that way I give you a chance to take Thank another you. Drink of coffee and wake up as well. We just finished watching the show. It was very good. And, you know, for those of you who are listening to the podcast and might remember from years ago, and I'm talking about, ten years ago, when I was working with Greg Dodd and the Magic Newswire, right. And that Ken Scott was one that oftentimes that would attend a convention, and he would kind of give updates, and he and I would send things in to Greg, and that's when Greg said, you know, my podcast is not about conventions. Maybe you might think about having your own. So he kind of pushed me out of the nest, and I'm glad he did, but I'm also glad I got Ken back here to kind of help give me an update on what happened. So you came in yesterday.
I came in Tuesday. So. Okay. I came in Tuesday.
And so yesterday evening, as far as, you know, we've kind of been talking about on the podcast yesterday what happened, but up to the show, so we haven't had a chance really to talk about the evening comedies, Legends of Comedy Magic.
I thought it was at a neat theater that they're going to have, which will be the contest show tonight, which will be great. It's a beautiful theater, very intimate, but large enough. But last night, it was all comedy legends, which I often wonder about the word legend, but it was just a phenomenal show with Pop and Jeff Hobson and... Who else we had?
Larry Wilson,
and Finney, and Nick. I mean, It was just a strong, straight, almost two-hour comedy show. I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, I think Michael Finney had put together just a dynamite show, and those were his friends. I mean, since he's the incoming president for the IBM, and I'm sure he had a little latitude and saying, sure. Here's what I'd like to bring in. You know, these are guys I've known for a long time, and I know it's going to be a dynamite show, and it really was.
And it was. I think the theater looked pretty packed. I'm not sure what it holds, but it looked pretty packed.
I don't know if they're going to have any room for public ticket sales. I mean, it's kind of an intimate theater. It looks like it's maybe, an 800-seat theater,
maybe,
you think?
Yeah, 600, 700, at least.
Yeah. So, but it was nice, proscenium and lights and everything. They don't have a follow spot, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Cost more.
Yeah, sure, that's true, too. Just an additional cost. They say that you question about using the word legends. So you think that you're not a legend until after you have passed or that you have achieved a certain level of celebrity?
I think Finney just put that down just because it was an easy line, legend. But, I think who decides whether you're a legend? They were all legends. But Jeff had a great line last night. I think he was the last act, and he mentioned – he was the youngest of the legends.
Well, I think there was the poster. Remember the Magic magazine had? It was the top 10 or 20, you know, legends of magic or something.
Yeah.
Comedy legends, you know, Carl Ballantyne.
Right.
So maybe we might have takeoff on that. But anyhow, so yeah, that was a great show. And then afterwards, in fact, I rode in the cab over with the amazing Jonathan, and I was saying, how come you're not in this show? You're a legend of magic. And so he said, well, I'm doing a show tomorrow night. So he's doing something tonight. But then he had his lecture last night, which is his very first lecture ever.
It's great. I was just he was just doing standard stuff, you know, gags that you do at the dinner table with friends. And I thought I loved it. I just thought it was just to have him chat and just be laid back like that was a different experience than seeing him, you know, on the stage doing his comedy show.
Yeah, he was a little bit nervous. He said,
I know, I could tell that, but I didn't know why, but I guess anytime you get in front of magicians for the first time, you're going to have that. But.
Well, and that was the first time. You're right. I think it's one of his first conventions, if not the first convention. When I know it's the first time he's ever lectured, he said.
Right.
And so I don't think he had lecture notes or anything, did he?
We had some T-shirts and cards and stuff. I think he did have a little set of notes.
Did he?
Because he's putting together a book, he said, about dinner.
Table crap.
Table
which was
stuff,
yeah, that yeah. was what yeah, Jay Marshall had a video out. It was called Table Crap. And some of this was taken from that, and he
right.
gave credit to Jay yeah. about that.
Yeah, he sure did. So I think he's put a book together, mm-hmm. which he's asking for ideas, if you have ideas about table jokes or dinner jokes mm-hmm. to send to him. So that's going to be neat to, if you can get that book out.
Yep, yeah. And you're going to be heading back then later today back to Atlanta.
I am,
I know
yeah.
that you're a busy children's show entertainer, but you've also got a convention coming up yourself.
I do. The Atlanta Harvest of Magic. .com is going to take a place this year. We do it every other year in Atlanta, and it's going to be September 27th to 29th. Mm-hmm. And you would ask me it's what talent, but it's just I think it's going to be a really good lineup. We got Levent, I got Aussie Wynn, we've got Fielding West is going to be coming out. I know he's gone through some tough times,
yeah.
as yourself, you know, yeah. But I think it's going to be good to get them out.
Yeah, our wives passed within a month of
yeah.
each other.
It's been a tough year for a lot of people,
yeah.
but you know, magic hopefully lifts people up. So,
yeah.
But the Harvest is you know, is that small, intimate convention where you're going to get 150 to 160 people just hang for, you know, 2.5-3 days and just. And that's what the Atlanta Harvest is. So.
That was one of my first best conventions I'd ever attended. When back when Jim and Diane Maney had put that together, because that's when I first I think really got to know Terry Seabrook, and Vito Lupo and Sly Deeney, you know, were there
right.
and spent some time with them. And goodness, that was just a memorable time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hope we can come. It's going to be. We've got like 32 more slots before we're sold out, and because we want to keep it at a number where I can manage it, because it's just me running it.
Right.
So
you do everything. You're chief cook and bottle washer and everything.
Yeah, it seems to happen a lot like that. So, but I don't know. But even here, we've got some good people here running some stuff here at the IBM. Then mm-hmm. you know, we've got some ideas carrying over next year because I became on the board this year. Michael twisted my arm mm-hmm. to become
good.
A board member. So we got. Some guys are taking over between myself and Oscar and Tom Bourgeron. We're going to be doing some stuff for the convention next year. So we're excited about what's coming up next year. So for the IBM, I think there's some good – with Finney coming in, I think it's going to give it some new vibe to the IBM, hopefully. So
yeah, I agree. That would be great. Two things then as far as dates. What are the dates for Atlanta Harvest?
Atlanta Harvest is September 27th through 29th.
And do you know where the convention of the IBM is going to be next year?
We don't know. They're finalizing it. It should be finalized today.
Okay. It sounds like FISM. You know, typically it's not until the last day of FISM they announce who's been awarded that.
They
for the
may have it. I'm just too new to the board. I don't know all those kind of details yet.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they've got details, but I haven't been privy to that.
Obviously they do because, I mean, they've got everything ready for registration.
Sure.
When you're signing the form, they're probably
absolutely.
All the... Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but... The new kid on block gets no very little, which is fine with me.
I remember those days. Well, I was new on the board then as well. Well, that's great. Well, Ken, thanks very much. Always
Thank
good
you,
catching up with you.
Great to see you.
And you as well. So from the Magic Board Podcast, that was Ken Scott. This is Scotty out. In the dealer's room and kind of meandering about, and as we're doing this, and kind of hear Mark Mason in the background, of course, with a throng of people around his dealer's booth as usual. But I've got with me now Bertel Fellstrom. Hey there, Bertel.
Hey there.
It's always good to see my good friend from Austin. By way of where exactly were you originally from?
I'm from Stockholm, Sweden.
Stockholm.
Yes.
And so when we had FISM in Stockholm, you probably had family, and that you loved going and visiting with friends and everybody back then.
Well, I was there, of course, and I was the judge at FISM in Stockholm. So this is going to be my 16th FISM this year in Busan.
16. And it's like every 3 years, so
yes.
You can't be that old.
I wish I wasn't. But 1973 in Paris was my first FISM. And, of course, you never forget your first one.
And who won that year?
Richard Ross.
I remember Richard Ross coming to Houston one time and hanging out with Walter Blaney, and he was performing a show at the Galleria, and Walter told me about it. We went down to watch him do his rings, and I remember him doing a torn, restored card. I mean, I say card. It was like a newspaper, but, it, you know, a playing card the size of a newspaper with a little piece that was missing.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd seen that little gambit.
Yeah.
And
no,
it fooled me.
He was great. And what he did in Paris that was totally new was he didn't stand on stage. He stepped out in front of the curtain. So he was like 3 meters, yeah, 3 meters from the audience, and that's where he did his rings, and only used 3 rings, of course, and it was a miracle.
Right. Yeah, I think if people have the World's Greatest Magic, which was an older book, you know, Richard's in that book, in case you're wanting to go back and see who Richard was, which a great guy. And he, I think, was the president of FISM 1 year, too, wasn't he?
I don't think so, no.
No?
No. There have been a lot of Dutch magicians, Henk Vermeiden, there were others, but he was never the president.
No. Okay. Well, he was involved in some way. It might have been with the music or something. I want to say when it was in 88 in Scheveningen, I think. There was some music. I think that was my first one in 88. It was great. And afterwards, he sent me a cassette tape of some of the music. It was great.
Yep.
Anyhow, getting off the
side.
Because
right
now it's going to be in Busan,
yes,
South Korea.
South Korea,
and that's going to be coming up next week, 2 weeks?
Actually, I leave here on the 8th, which is Sunday.
Here from Grand Rapids.
And it starts on the 9th. So I'm arriving a little late. I will probably miss the first day of FISM because they're scheduled exactly back to back.
Are you going to be staying then a few days afterwards or going to turn right
staying
back?
Staying a few days afterwards,
okay.
Yeah.
But as far as this convention goes, you've been going to the IBM for a long time then as well.
Yes. I actually have my Merlin. So it's 25 years with IBM. I got the
Merlin shield. Yeah, I see you and I both have our shield.
Yeah.
A little ribbon here.
Yeah.
As far as this convention goes, we're about halfway into this already. So what's been impressive? What have you liked?
I like the competition a lot. They have a
stage
only competition. Only good competition act. Sometimes you see so-so acts, but mm-hmm. This time one act was a little bit off, but mm-hmm. the others are amazing. And we also see some Asians here. We have
Julianne Chen apparently had brought in some people from China.
That's why we have them here. Okay,
yes.
And they're. I think all three of them are already in the finals for tonight.
For tonight, yeah.
Yeah, so possibly we will have an Asian winner in the IBM US.
We've got our final six here for tonight, yep. I was one of the judges, you know, for the stage contest to push these people into the preliminaries, and then the judges tonight will determine, from there whether or not there'll be a gold medal
that'll
be awarded. But there were some beautiful acts. I can't talk anything.
No, of course, if you were judging. But I can tell you the Chinese girls, they were amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's already, you know, on the internet, they call this the Battle of the Parasols.
There were quite a few parasols, in there. But there was a one guy, Sedak, I believe his name was, and we were just talking about this before I turned on the microphone, about the act that he did, in which he peeled off his shirt to show that he didn't have anything concealed as he did manipulation.
Yes, he did card manipulations shirtless, which was an amazing feat.
Yeah.
And the only thing better than that I've seen was actually in Stockholm at FISM, where we had a Finnish magician do 12 billiard balls in Speedos.
Wow. Now that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
When Sedak, actually, I'd never seen this before either, when he kind of sat on the stage,
yep.
or laid on the stage, kind of, you know, and then was doing manipulation as well. Seemed kind of obvious what was happening, but, you know, if you're wearing your Speedos, it wouldn't be quite as obvious.
Well, I can tell you, not the secret, but I can tell you that the stage was filled with smoke.
Smoke. Now, do you remember there was another fellow at one of the FISMs? Oh, golly, I can't remember his name, but I'll never forget the act. He walked out basically with nothing but a pin light on him, and by the end of the show, that it was just the stage was strewn with cards and silks and I don't know what all else. I mean, it wasn't like he was wearing baggy pants either. He just had like a shirt and pants.
I wonder if you're talking about the Danish magician Samson.
It may well have been.
He's
a young guy.
No, Samson is dead now. He's an old guy. But he came in on a completely empty stage, and he left the stage with 25 tables with flowers on them.
Wow.
And they were all body loads.
Yeah. You know, those kind of acts, I mean, that is magic, where you have nothing and you leave with a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. That is great. And last night's show, the comedy Legends of Magic, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I mean, of course, our Austin famous
your
magician.
Buddy, yep. Nick Lewin was there. Yeah.
Nick Lewin opened the show, and I think he got more laughs than anybody else.
You know, I think last per minute, I agree with you that he did. The other acts were really funny. Jeff Hobson and Larry Wilson, everybody were great.
And the magic was great, so it was a great, great, great show.
Yeah.
And that, again, makes a great convention. The first show, fantastic. Now we have the competitors. That's going to be a good show.
Right.
And then I don't know what to expect from the third gala, but I think it's going to be great.
I think it should be good as well. You know, one of the things that occurred to me last night, just as we're talking about this, that Laurie Wilson was doing a thing with the egg beater, with the thought transmitter, and somebody was saying, oh, there's that old thing. Well, he was the first one I saw doing that. I don't think a lot of people recognize that necessarily. I remember him doing that, like, on some television show, like Mumbo Jumbo, It's Magic, back in 76 or 7, 8, somewhere like that, and he was doing it way before then. So, you know, it's some people see things now, and they think, oh, he's taking someone else's material.
Might be his.
Could be. I need to ask him about that. I've talked to Larry the last 2 days for the podcast, so I need to add another third day to ask him about that very thing. So, yeah, as far as what you're looking forward to, yeah, the next gala's for the next couple of nights, see who's going to be the winner tonight and all that. So, close-up contest this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not that much into close-up and cards. But
you're a stage guy,
I know. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch it. And, of course, then, this is a busy time because I'm driving straight to Chicago and flying to FISM. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed also before, you brought out the microphone, FISM is just back-to-back to IBM. So it's going to be a very, very tight fit. I leave on the 8th, I arrive on the 9th, and FISM starts on the 9th.
And then when you get back, you're just going to have a short time before we head out to Vegas for Magic Live.
I will not do Magic Live this year.
Okay.
No, I've done it for a lot of years in a row. But I will save myself for TIOM, of course.
Yeah, which is going to be in Houston, Texas from August 31st through September 3rd. So that's at taom.org/2018, I think. So you can get more information on that. Well, anyhow, great, Bertle. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome. Always good to talk with people who are registrants and people who are in the know, and there's nobody who knows more than the guy who knows is Alexander, the man who knows. But no, this is Bertle, the man who knows. Bertle Bellstrom, this is Scotty L. All right, so we are just outside the dealer's room, and I ran into a longtime friend, Terry Wathall. Ooh, I can't spell the name properly.
You said it perfectly.
Wathall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you spell it, though?
Walthall.
Just like Wathall. Okay.
That's
yep. Okay, good.
Good job.
Good. And you are the technical guy, kind of on the board, and I work with you at the St. Louis Midwest Magic Jubilee. You've been doing that for how many years? Like 20 years, maybe?
I've been doing both of them. I've been doing
Midwest
either.
Magic.
Thank you.
It's Wathall.
W-A-L. No. Yeah. Yes, I've been doing that for about 20 years, and I've been doing several of the IBM conventions like this, and it's awesome. Everybody, they're so spectacular. I mean, we've got to help them out, make them look good.
Now, when you do that, do you use the boards that are provided by the hotel? Do you bring your own in, or how's that?
We bring everything. Everything that's in the hotel is all ours, and we put all that together with a crew of three, and some local IBM members help us put all that together, and magically, in a day and a half, we're ready to go by noon.
And you do the sound checks and light and all that kind
sound,
of stuff?
Sound, lights, the whole nine yards.
Right. Now, do you go down to the theater and work with the union sometime whenever that we have these at the auditorium?
I do. We're doing that. Matter of fact, as soon as I get in here, I'm going right to the theater and tech all of the shows for tonight, and so I get 4 hours on that, and then once they leave, I get to program everything, and then after that, we do it.
Because you were just asking me about if I got any sleep last night, and I said a few hours, and you said, how was that? Because you're not getting any.
No, I don't. possibly 2 hours a night toward the thing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. My whole crew is walking around like zombies, and they're doing an awesome job.
They are. Sometimes at conventions, there might be a sound glitch or something, and that's the one thing that people talk about as being a negative. So, you know, the shows were good, but the sound was a problem, you know, or whatever it was. But every time I've worked with you or you've been involved in any way, shape, or form, it's always been really as near perfect as possible. I can't have any complaints about any glitches or anything.
Well, I appreciate that, but I will tell you this, that when you have to do something as quickly as we do it, we certainly run out of time. And more importantly, it is live.
Right.
And so things do happen. And being professional, you just have to roll with it.
Well, one thing I don't think a lot of listeners think about or convention attendees is about how that these are just one-off shows. In other words, if you're working with a Broadway production or any kind of a musical or something in a theater, they're doing it night after night after night, and they can kind of fine-tune it. You can say, okay, well, next time I'm going to have the light, or I'm going to have the sound up, or I can do this or that. You get one chance.
One chance and one chance only.
And it better be spot on right every time.
And, yeah, when we really strive to do that, but things do happen. You know, again, it's live, and and it's not Memorex.
Right. Now, you've worked with Trey Richardson for a long time then with his show.
I have. I've been his technical director for probably 25 years. Mm-hmm. So we work together and we do crazy stuff, as you already know.
Yeah. But,
you know, taking that, you know, that's almost like doing a Broadway show. It's pre-programmed. Everything's the same every time, so
right.
You really don't have to change up anything. And, you know, you just push the button and hope that the electricity stays on. You know?
But it took a long time to get up to that point.
Well, you know, once you do it, it probably takes about 4 days for a show Terry's size
to get
teched out and ready to go. Especially when you take it on a road, you really don't want to take the time that it would take to redo it every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we only get like minutes to do it at the IBM conventions.
Yeah. So, well, you're doing a good job. And
Well,
now you're seeing it from a different perspective. What have you seen or enjoyed? What's been part of it that you've liked so far?
Well, I will tell you that there is so much, it's kind of hard to absorb because my mind is certainly on all the technical aspects of it.
Hmm.
And while I'm watching somebody do their thing, I'm planning what I'm going to do to somebody else's. So I don't really see what's going on.
You're playing chess. You're always a few moves ahead.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes I lose that, but that's because I'm mentally deranged.
Well, that's why you're doing this. That's why
you're a magician. Exactly right. And I love having no sleep. It just helps.
That's great. Terry, thanks very much for all you do, and thanks for taking the time
here. Scott. Thank you. It's good to see you this morning, and get some rest.
Yeah, you too, my friend. I'll see you later.
All right, thanks.
This is Terry Wathall. This is Scotty out. So now we are in the dealer's room and talking with one of the people who was a presenter yesterday, actually one of the big three events, Neil Chamberlain. Hi, the new.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic, thank you. And we were just talking about how that you said today being the second day of this lecture / show that you're putting on as part of the big three event. First of all, I think it's kind of interesting that you're taking like the full hour and a half, whereas the others, I know Steve Valentine's in one and Kayla Drescher in the other, are doing their show, which is about a half hour or so, you know, then they're taking kind of a Q&A or something. But, I mean, you're doing a lot more. But one
yes.
thing in talking about marketing and everything that we were, when I saw this yesterday, that was like at the tail end. You're saying you changed up a little bit and about explaining what?
Yes. So today in the lecture, we decided to kind of open it up just slightly a bit differently because we wanted to give people the understanding of why they need to be doing marketing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of magicians out there that are part-time, semi-professionals out there, weekend warriors, they or just hobbyists trying to go that next level and pad their pockets with a few extra bucks, they may not understand, what's this marketing thing mean? Why do I need to do this?
And they just expect the phone to ring.
They just expect the phone to ring, and it's not going to ring. It's everything isn't a magic trick, you know. It's
right.
You got to create this. You have to create this image and this presence. So what I was saying, we were kind of presenting today is, listen, guys, there's people out there who they don't know who you are right now. There's buyers, there's customers out there in the real world, birthday party moms, librarians, teachers, all kinds of people, corporate people that are looking to hire performers, entertainers, but you're not showing. If you're not coming up in front of them when they need, if you don't have that postcard on their desk, or if you're not on the Google page when they do that search, then you're dead on arrival. Because
right.
in doing so, by not being there, you're doing both the client or the prospect and yourself a disservice, because if you did show up on Google, or if you did put that postcard on the desk, or if you did make that phone call and make that connection with the customer, then you could build and cultivate a really beautiful relationship with them and think of all the additional opportunities that are going to come long-term as a result of you taking that initial action in the moment right then. It's just
right.
having that discipline and the mindset of knowing I have to get a presence out there, because people in your own town, in your own backyard, they don't know everyone. They don't know that there's a magician 10 miles up the road or 30 miles up the road. So they pop out that smartphone, the busy mom at work on her lunch break, she punches in a quick Google search for a magician or kids' birthday party ideas. That's a big one that people search. And when you don't come up, again, they can't call you. They can't hire someone that they don't know. They can't hire you if they don't know you exist.
And they're not looking in the yellow pages. That doesn't exist
right.
anymore.
The yellow pages are a doorstop, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. And so a web page is obviously the best way to go. And I'm surprised, you know, yesterday when I was listening to you and you were saying, how many people don't have a website? I'm surprised the number
right.
of people who don't.
I found the vast majority of magicians out there who are trying to make a living, they actually still do not, in 2018, they still do not have a website set up, or they had their grandson or their
yeah.
nephew or something like that set something up for them. that doesn't assert themselves as an authority figure or as a celebrity. There's people out there, guys, I know there's people out there who have ridiculous amounts of talent, way more talent than I'll ever have in my entire life. But if you don't come up on Google, if you don't come up in front of those people when they're looking for you, you cannot get the gig. It's so important. You got to invest in yourself. You have to invest in your brand. Save some money instead of spending, you know, the next $5,000 you make on magic tricks. You know, spend a few hundred bucks on, throwing up a website, even if it's basic, from VistaPrint or GoDaddy or something. Right. Do something. I mean, just don't do nothing.
I think it was important also that you had pointed out about how that you need to create a celebrity status for yourself. So that's why I know. A lot of guys, as you say, maybe can't market their way out of a bag. I mean, they're really brilliant performers, but they just don't know how to sell the show, or they feel kind of a little bit reluctant about, you know, trying to do this. But also it's important, as you were saying, about being a celebrity, that by doing that, people will be seeking you out, looking for that.
Yes. So you have to establish a brand and an image, and you do those things. There's a huge array of, you know, opportunities and avenues out there that you can pursue to create a brand. But you have to have a logo. You got to have a clean-cut, polished look. I mean, you can't have, you know, you got to groom yourself well, wear some cologne, things like that, basic stuff. And in your marketing material,
clean your fingernails.
Seriously, clip your fingernails. The number of times that we've gone into a school or a library or a birthday, and they're like, "Oh wow, I'm so surprised. I didn't expect you to look so nice." You know, I'm like,
"We just had Clyde the mechanic come in."
That's almost a compliment. It's like I'm disappointed that there's other professionals out there who it's diluted the marketplace so much that these librarians or teachers or whatever, they just don't even expect that anymore. So if you come up and you look professional, you have a good image, and you go the extra mile for the client, you have to look out for them. Okay, if you're looking out for them, and if you're saying, "How can I provide value to you? How can I come in as a resourceful person and kind of champion your vision and come alongside you and partner up with you for the success of your event? How can the two of us mesh together to really increase the energy, the excitement?" I was speaking with a lady just a couple weeks ago, working with her to prepare a fundraiser coming up real soon. And she said, I just need to, no one in the community knows about it. I said, "Listen, we're going to work with you on that. We're going to increase the desire. We're going to increase the community engagement. We're going to give people a tangible reason to be involved and to be there and to get that buzz going, even on social media." It's so important these days. You really, really have to do that stuff.
What advice?
It's easy. It's not hard.
No, it's not. I think, you know, at least you get started.
You just got to do it.
Yeah, it's one step at a time. Also, you know, the people might be overwhelmed thinking, well, there are so many things out there as far as getting involved with social media, or I don't know how to put my foot into it or whatever, that you just got to do it. You know?
I didn't do it all at once. Chris and I, we've been working together for 9 years now, and we've learned through the School of Hard Knocks, and I still don't, the more I learn, the more I learn that I have so much more to learn, if that makes any sense. There's so much, and I'm honored to be here to begin with, because I don't feel like I'm in an adequate position to really be teaching this stuff necessarily. But we're just sharing our personal experiences of what's worked for us. Chris and I put our shows together 9 years ago or so, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were like two bozos. We were like two chickens running around with our heads cut off. I mean, we had no clue what was going on. Yeah. We spent tons of money, thousands of dollars on business expos and magazine ads. I mean, you name it, money was going out and money was not coming back in. Mm-hmm. And we learned from Hard Knocks and stress and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. We learned what does work and doesn't work, at least for us. You know, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you. Your story, your life may look a little bit different than mine, but there's some generalizations in marketing that are going to work all across the board, you know.
What advice would you give to someone who is afraid to close the deal? You know, that's a hard thing, and that, as Chris was saying, that you're one of the best people on the phone.
I would say you have to know your value. At the end of the day, you have to know your value, and you can't compromise your value to make an event happen, okay? That doesn't mean that you have to be rude or disrespectful, but when you're on the phone with someone, you got to have confidence. You have to have like pep in your step and lots of energy. And when you get to that rate, you can't get, it's going to be for this, maybe, I think. Is there any way you could squeeze out, like, if I could get $500, maybe? I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's guys that do that. Or you sound really, really smooth and your pitch has been great and you've been building that value. You've been doing some value stacking getting up to that point. And then you say, you get to the price, you say it's just $500. See, it's perceived weakness. You can't delay. You can't hesitate.
You're trying to think of a price.
Yes. You've got to know in advance. You got to be figuring this out on the phone. You got to say, "Listen, I'd love to come alongside you guys, help you out. I think we'd be a great fit to work together." what I have in mind is XYZ. You can bring us in, or you can bring me in for $500. You know, all we need today to take care of this is a 50% retainer fee, a deposit to lock and secure that date and time. I can take that over the phone via credit card, email you over a receipt right away. Boom. Half the time, people, they don't book the show just because they're the magicians are confusing on the phone. We're used to kind of confusing people in the act with the sleight of hand and things like that, so they don't know what's really going on.
Right.
And I think we sometimes take that mentality on the phone, and when we're making that deal with a customer, we get to that point, and then it's like you don't tell them what to do next. If you just tell them, I'm ready to take your credit card, there's times where I'll have the customer say, oh, hold on 1 second, let me go grab that. And boom, you get the show. Or there's times where the husband says, you know, I really need to talk to, you know, my wife about this. The wife says, I need to talk to my husband. I say, well, listen, I appreciate that, and I certainly don't want to interfere with the marriage and put any, you know, stress on the relationship. But you've already talked about throwing this party. You've already talked about hosting this event. You've already talked about hiring entertainment. Let's just go ahead and do this so you can call your wife and say, babe, I'm super excited. I've just booked XYZ magician out in, you know, Massachusetts, and he's like one of the top performers out there. She's going to be thrilled. Imagine the excitement and the load off of her shoulders, knowing that she can go back to her. She can work on the invitations.
Yeah.
People want you to take stress off of them. People want you to help them to take stress off.
I think it's a good point that you're talking about there too. And that whenever I was designing my website, I counted up the number of times I was using a personal pronoun versus, you know, saying you. I want fewer of me and what I can do for you, but basically you will experience this. You will be the star, you know, you basically.
Yes. So, and he's, you're right. And you have, by the way, an absolutely phenomenal website. I've seen it many, many times. And I know if anyone knows about Google and ranking on Google, it's you. But as far as that's concerned, I will say people, as far as your like credentials and things like that, people, I've seen magicians that, they say on their websites, I won XYZ award in 1993. I won this award in 2007. I did this and that. People, yes, that's good. Accolades are good. And I, by no means do I want to undermine or diminish the value that someone's put into the dexterity and the skill and the discipline. I don't have that. But in the buying world of birthday parties and libraries and schools and family shows and even corporate work, they're not booking people because they won an award in 2007. They're booking you because you have value you can bring to them. So you have to find out you have to ask them on the phone, what do you need from me? How can I provide value to you?
Right.
And the more you get the person on the other end to talk, the more likely they are to book. So, for example, I scheduled a gospel program out at a church just this past week on the phone, and it was about a 30-minute conversation, which is longer than most magicians would necessarily want to spend on the phone. But I knew where it was going, and I really felt in my heart this was going in a great direction, and we'd be able to come alongside this church and help them on their mission trip and stuff. But what I didn't do was I didn't spend the 30 minutes talking about us and what we've done and all that. I listened to this gentleman. I listened to him. I said, tell me your story. Tell me about you. And he opened up and starts telling me all this stuff. I'm telling you, people love to talk about themselves.
And you become friends. And people like to do business with friends.
Absolutely. They buy from who they know, who they like, and who they
are friends with.
Trust, yeah.
Trust,
friends
yeah.
with who they trust. Yes, you got to be likable. And just let them talk. I mean, just be, you're just, I mean, you're just there to help people out. And you've got to know. I was taught this early on, you have to know your value. If you have a $200 show, that's fine. Be confident when you quote the $200. If you have a $500 show, be confident when you quote $500, and don't sell it for $150 just to get the gig, because you're undermining your own integrity and you're undermining the art form itself, and you're diluting the value of having a magician at the event to begin with. You know, there's a time and a place for all talent and all people, and you have to know where your time, where your place is. And that means that sometimes someone will call you for an event and you say, listen, maybe this isn't going to work out. I would be glad to refer you to XYZ performer, or I have an alternative idea. You don't want to leave them hanging. You know, sometimes with a birthday party, maybe the budgets don't work out, and you just cannot make that close. And that does happen. You say, listen, I so appreciate your time. I'm so thankful that you contacted us. I understand it may not work out right now. We'd love to re-pursue this maybe in the future, down the road. But in the meantime, what I'd love to do is connect with you on Facebook, because we do free events in public libraries all around the area. And I'd like to personally meet your children after one of the shows, take a photo on the red carpet after the magic show with your child. And you've just won this family over.
Right.
I've had situations like that where it was no, 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 no. And you get to that point, and then they call you back the next day, and they're like, oh my goodness, I have to book it. You know, I have to book that show.
Well, I have Jamie Salinas is a friend of mine there in Houston, and he was talking about booking
phenomenal.
A show. He is phenomenal, and he knows how to book a show then also. And that one time that he'd booked a show in which that this lady had called around for other magicians, and he said, well, you know, you're clearly the most expensive. You know, why should I book you? Well, this lady had the Scott Gertner band, I think she was in charge of that, said, well, you know, whenever the people are wanting the best, you know, that you want people to have to book your band, you know, Scott Gertner's band. And so same thing here. If they want the best, you know, you're going to be paying a little bit extra. She said, good point. You know, here's a date. Let's book it.
Absolutely. You have to be like, you got to be relatable, and you've got to convey and communicate that value over the phone to them. And you've got to let them know. Speaking of Apple, a company that I greatly admire and respect, they had an earnings call several months back, and there was a heckler on the call or something somehow, and had got through to Tim Cook, and he was saying the iPhone 10, you know, wasn't telling Tim Cook, he's saying the iPhone 10 isn't selling well, blah, blah, blah. What do you have to say about that? And Tim's like, well, actually, the iPhone 10 is selling, you know, remarkably well, better than any other iPhone we've ever sold, even though it's way more money than the other iPhones we've ever made. And he said, and as a matter of fact, and he said, we price based on the value we deliver. He said, we price based on the value we deliver.
You know, when you said that yesterday, I jotted that down. That's a great line.
That was and I can't tell you how many times where I'm on the phone with a client, and they are, listen, it's a new day and age. People are on Google. They're looking around. They're looking at you and 16 other magicians, depending on what market you're in. And if you aren't up to snuff, if you're not, you know, a couple steps ahead of them, then they're gonna, you know, get you for $100 less or so. You've got to know these things
right. So
you can go into the negotiation with the mindset. You know what your minimum is. You know you're not going to come below that. And then if you're having a little financial issue, try a takeaway. You know, like we said, try a little bit of a takeaway. Say, listen, we can come out, but maybe let's skip on XYZ part of the show. Let's not do the levitation act. Well, no, they want that.
Sure.
They want that.
Yeah, exactly.
So find them out.
Well, listen, Neil, thanks very much. Appreciate your time. We could talk, obviously, for
yes,
a lot
forever,
longer
and ever,
about
ever.
This.
Thank
and there are a lot
very,
of important things that I think people need to know about. So
and
if they were here, they'd hear this.
I should have been interviewing you, though. Yeah, I should have been interviewing you, though.
You're the expert on this.
Chris,
that's why
and I were really, really thankful to be here. We're incredibly thankful for the opportunity. And I will say the IBM has been remarkably courteous and kind to so gracious. And Michael Finney, who is the one that I guess brought us out here for this, which just he's world-class act, phenomenal. And we've been thankful to work with him.
In so many ways. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Neil, thank you very much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Neil Chamberlain. This is Scotty Allen. Well, we're at the evening reception. We just finished with Jeff Hobson's lecture, which was packed, as you could imagine. It was very good. A few questions and answers. We really didn't have a lot of time afterwards because it was going to be time then soon here for the evening banquet and also for a cocktail hour. But I'm here right now with Misty and Kyle Knight. Hi, guys.
How you doing? Hello, everyone.
Glad you guys are here. If you hear the music playing in the background, by the way, that is our past international president, Joe Turner, is actually at the ivories tickling the keys over there. Anyhow. So you guys are on closing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the
and
show.
And you're going to be closing our show at the TAOM coming up. That's going to be exciting in Houston in just about a month or so.
Oh, it's coming up quick.
It will be quick. So in coming here, you just got here today because you've been doing, where'd you come from here?
We just did a couple Disney cruises in the Caribbean with our big illusion show. And we had one day at home in Las Vegas, repacked everything.
We got to go to a party in Vegas,
Fourth of July party.
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
We got to fit
we
a party
in. We went to Jerry McCambridge's house. He had a nice Fourth of July party. And then we packed everything up and came here, got here last night at midnight.
Now, do they have any fireworks?
Vegas was crazy. You just driving down the streets, there's fireworks just shooting all over the place. So.
The reason I ask is because they have not yet had any fireworks here at Grand Rapids. It was on the Fourth of July, nothing. I mean, there was a party in the park, which is across the street, but there were no fireworks. At least I didn't hear anything, and I was talking with someone, they said, yeah, they postponed that till the weekend, so they're going to have it like tonight or tomorrow.
Oh,
it's like, what, you postpone Christmas if it falls on a Wednesday because it's not convenient or something? They said, yeah, we're going to be having fireworks later.
That's funny. They actually did that, so.
So that was a lot of fun that you had there. So you got to go to a party.
Yep.
And then from here, you're going to be going back out to sea or what?
Where are we going?
We have a week at home after we get back, and then we go and
what's that like, huh?
Yeah, it's all packing and unpacking pretty much. And then we have Royal Caribbean. We have a couple different shows that we perform, and when we do Royal Caribbean, we typically do our fly-on show that packs in a couple suitcases, and that's what we'll be doing. And then a couple weeks after that, we have a big show in Vegas coming up. We're headlining at the Suncoast Casino with a 75-minute full show, so lots going on.
That sounds great, and you were saying that you're also booked into next year.
Yeah, we've got more Disney coming up later. We're going to be in New York. We're going to be performing at Monday Night Magic in New York. And
isn't that called us Off-Broadway?
I guess so.
That's what I on my website. That's why I say Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway.
I've performed Off-Broadway.
That's a new one for us as well.
This is our first time in Michigan. Well, my first time in Michigan.
Yeah.
Kyle's from Wisconsin originally.
Yeah, next door neighbors. Yep, next door neighbor.
You know, on the way home, I'm driving to Houston, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I drove here.
Wow.
That I'm going to go back to Chicago and spend the night with a friend and go up to Wisconsin Dells and see Rick Wilcox's show.
Yep.
I assume that you've seen him.
Oh, of course. I haven't seen a show, though. I've never seen a show up in
Rick and I have been friends for a long time, and he keeps saying, come up, come up. And I did a podcast with him, and this is about as close as I've been in years. I'm in my own car. I thought, well, why not? So I'm going to go up Monday and see the show.
That's nice. Very exciting.
They've been there for a while. I'm glad they've been so successful.
17 years or something like that? Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, quite a time. Now, as far as what you're going to be doing tomorrow night, you say it's kind of like back in a smaller suitcase.
We ended up fitting an illusion in the suitcase.
That is a magic in itself. We got one of our illusions in our checked baggage that we'll be doing tomorrow night. But other than that, it's just, you know, smaller stage pieces that we do with our fly-on show.
What is that like sometimes? I had someone who... I just did a podcast recently on Gone in 60 Seconds about people who've had things stolen, their props stolen from their car and whatnot. And someone said, well, that's a fascinating subject, but I'd also be interested to know about some problems that people have whenever they're packing to go overseas or on cruises, where they might have had some difficulty with TSA or some things shouldn't pack.
They're always in our stuff.
Yes, they're always messing with our stuff and everything.
Not packing it properly.
Not packing it back properly. We actually have an interesting story about using magic to kind of get through security.
Oh, this is funny. And it makes you look bad.
Yeah,
but
it makes
us look
bad.
Anyway.
But it wasn't like TSA security. It was like getting onto a ship security. So a little bit less security, and that doesn't really matter.
So they, if we were getting onto the ship, and this was in Texas, I remember.
In Galveston?
I was in Galveston.
Yeah.
We had these throwing knives that we would do. We have an illusion that's our own version of backstage, and Kyle throws knives at the box, and there were these huge 7-inch blades.
They're 14-inch throwing knives.
14-inch blades. And we knew that if they saw them, they would take them from us and return them after a while. And that's just a little bit of a hassle.
You have to go through the process.
And we had rehearsal right away, so we wanted to just kind of avoid that delay. And we also were doing a levitation, and there was this big hoop. Okay. So as soon as Kyle puts the blades on the...
conveyor belt
to go through security and the scanner, right when it goes through, he pulls out the hoop. So he used misdirection, everybody's attention gets drawn.
What do I do with this big hula hoop? And all the security goes, I don't know what to do with the hula hoop. I walk it through, it doesn't fit through the scanner, and they're all looking at the hula hoop, and the knives just go right through the...
Wow.
And we walk on
with all the story knives. So that should make you feel really comfortable, so traveling with us. So that's our using magic to get through security.
So a little misdirection.
Yes, a little misdirection helps a lot. So.
That's funny. Well, I'm excited about seeing your show tomorrow night. That's going to be great. I'm excited about seeing you in Houston coming up.
We'll have different stuff at TAOM, too. So if you see us in both places, you'll get to see different magic.
That's great. And we should be following you guys on Instagram. I know that you were working for a hat company or something. You're posting
those things. Yeah. I did some modeling for some beautiful hats.
Yep.
And that's all on my Instagram.
What is your Instagram?
Mine's just Misty Knight. And that's my real name, by the way. People ask me all the time if it's a stage name.
Yeah.
But Misty is on my birth certificate, and I married Kyle and became Misty Knight. So, ta-da.
Perfect name. Perfect name.
For a magic show?
Yep. Yeah. Kyle, see.
Don't go there. He says it's a stripper name.
Yeah, we won't go there. I got some stories, too, about some other stories. I don't see you much on Instagram as much as I do Misty posting things.
Yeah,
I guess you just kind of let her post
for you. I kind of let her take care of everything. She manages the entire business now and does all the social media stuff, and I've kind of gone away from that stuff a little.
He just lets me...
Yes.
Take over.
Slowly taking over.
But if we're home, he's working on trying to be creative or building stuff. That's how he spends his time.
Actually, the weird thing is now I don't even like to know where I'm going until literally right before.
It stresses him out if he knows in advance.
So it's just like, well, where are we going to be tomorrow?
And I
it's
tell
like,
him.
What's
we
like her travel director?
She kind of is.
Travel agent.
It's very funny. So
right now we're in Michigan.
Glad you're here. Thanks a lot for coming, and welcome to Grand Rapids. And enjoy the evening, and see your show tomorrow.
Awesome. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. See ya.
It was Kyle and Misty Knight for The Magic Word. This is Scotty out. Well, we're here for the cocktail reception while we are bouncing around, running to a lot of good friends, and we have one right here, Dr. Lawrence Paz. Larry, very good. Always good to see you.
Great to be with you again, Scott.
I love spending time with you, just to hear your resonant voice. Since our good friend Eugene is not here anymore, that you're the voice I next like to hear.
I have to, thank you. I have to carry the voice forward.
You know, when we do the legacy lecture the other night, I said, well, I'm going to channel Eugene.
I
mean, it's not just with his voice, but the gestures and the pauses and the looks. I mean, it's not that you have him down. I mean, you guys were intertwined in so many ways, I think, you know, intellectually and everything. That anyhow, I'm glad that legacy is being carried on.
Well, thank you. One thing about that is Eugene and I knew each other for 25 years.
Yep.
We are both from the Chicago area, so we have the same accent. We both have deep bass voices, and we both love philosophy. So that all of that is part of why we were such good friends. But about his legacy, you know, Jeff and I are so honored to have done this lecture here at the IBM National Convention because Eugene was a friend for everybody here, and so many people wanted to have another moment with him. And so Jeff and I tried to bring his spirit into the room.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, I like also is when you're saying the reason we're having it at midnight is because that was what Eugene would always say, that this is just for us, you know.
Eugene loved the midnight lecture. The very first time I saw him was at a midnight lecture at a national convention. And when Jeff and I were talking with the IBM about it, we said, but we want a late night lecture.
Yeah. Now, there is a fund also. Talk about the Legacy Fund.
Yes. So when Eugene passed away on October 8th of 2017, his executors in Chicago, Robert Charles and Michael Burke, they created a memorial fund. They set up a memorial fund, and many, many thousands of dollars of donations came in for that, and donations are still coming in, and this money was given to the Magic and Mystery School by the estate to administer in a way that would keep Eugene's memory and legacy alive. And we are doing that in several ways, but one thing we have done is we have created Eugene Berger Legacy Awards, which go to magicians who the committee feels embodies Eugene's highest values. This year we gave one to Kim Zoller from Baltimore and one to Jeff Grimes from DeSoto, Texas. And these were people whose names were brought to the committee, and we felt they exemplified his values in terms of magic and character, and so we're going to keep that going into perpetuity.
Now, how does one get their name suggested to
well,
the board?
Well, as this happens with like other, like a MacArthur Fellowship, the process is kept secret because we don't want to expose people to that.
Yeah.
But there is a committee, and the committee carries out a process. And we did one set of awards this year. We expect to be doing more sets each year in the future.
You know, I understand that because that there are things like with the Slate Awards, for an example, you know, that are given out each year. And I'm assuming that, you know, Alan Slate has a committee that's not just him saying, these are my friends and, you know, I'm going to give you my money. I'm sure that there is a committee and a process.
There's absolutely a committee and a process that's rigorous, and because we want to protect the value of these things.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And so this is, you know, how many years you've been doing this as far as the teen seminar with the IBM? I mean, I know I was talking to Lance about it the other day, and it started with the Las Vegas seminar.
Yes, it did. It started about 30 years ago. Lance started partnering with the Desert Magic Seminar to create a lunch for teens. That's how it started.
Okay.
Shortly after that got started, the idea was to have a two-day program before the Desert Magic Seminar, and Lance said, I will only agree to that if the Magic and Mystery School are the teachers of it. That was what Lance said. He wanted Jeff and Eugene to be the people to do that because Lance said they do magic education. And so very early on, Jeff and Eugene got connected, and they did this through all of the Desert Magic Seminars. They did it at the beginning of the World Magic Seminars, which became.
Right.
I was brought on board at that point, and I just assisted with the program. And then when it became connected with the IBM several years ago, a number of years ago now, I've been a part of all of these programs. And I'll tell you, Scott, it is tremendous what happens to these teens who come to this program, because they spend 2 days with Lance Burton, Jeff McBride, and all of our Magic and Mystery School teaching about how to perform magic better. And it's transformational for them.
It's life-changing, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much, Larry, for all that you've done and continue to do, you know, for the magic community and inspiring youth and everything with the IBM convention. I'm glad that you enjoy it. It's always wonderful to spend time talking with you.
You're the best, Scott. Thank you for all that you do for magic.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dr. Larry Haas. This is Scott Young. All right, well, we are just about to go in for dinner, but we got just a few minutes, and before we do that, I thought I would catch a good friend who is going to be bailing out tomorrow. He was in and out for the show last night, the lecture today, so he's got our money and he's ready to go.
Hey, you sound like I'm a thief or something. I'm bailing. I'm like escaping. I'm like a fugitive. Stop it.
There is Mr. Jeff Hobson. Hi there, Jeff.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. So you got to go back to the Illusionist tour? You're back on tour? Or
Well, this is a break, you know. We did 9 months, and now we're back. We're going to be starting again for the fall and going to do another, fall, and then I think the winter is going to be split up between Australia and Broadway, and then we start again in 2019.
And you got next year, 19, already booked, I guess, as far as...
It is booked, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be staying with the Illusionists, or are there other kind of things you're doing?
I've got
one
a few other projects I can't talk about right now.
Yeah,
but I do have things in the fire because, you can't stay doing one thing for too long, so you have to diversify in our business.
A little bit. And so the show last night was awesome. I start to say it's bookend, beautfully with Nick Lewin and you, but the guys in between were awesome also.
Yeah.
That was just, like I said, comedies and magic, that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I never got a chance to really perform with these guys the way that we did, except for me and Mike one time a long time ago, but it was a blast. That's so cool, and that theater was excellent. 700 seats, that's my sweet spot.
Isn't it a nice
spot.
Little intimate
5
theater?
500 to 700, I love that.
We were just talking about that this evening. I was wondering about how many, and I was guessing 800 seats. That looked about right, 700.
7 something, and change. Yeah. Yep, you're right.
What's one of the largest theaters you've been working at, the Illusion?
Ooh, we did well.
Sydney, I guess.
Well, Sydney, but you got O'Shea's. That's 3,800 seats. You got the Fox Theaters chain. They're all between 4,000 and 5,000. The Fox in Detroit was great, because that's like 4,800 seats. Loved it.
Are there things then that you would change in your act in order for some people to see when you're certain?
Well, not when you're an illusionist. We have the big screen projection.
That's a good
so
point.
We can do, you can do something that...
Storm Resort
Cigarette paper. Yeah, and be seen. So we don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, listen, I know that everything is moving quickly and... Yep. Including me, I've got to go to the bathroom.
Thanks for oversharing. What the hell?
No. We got to go get seated over here for the.
Okay, Scott.
Starting to ring the bell.
Great.
Jeff,
nice
always great
to
seeing you.
Take care.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Jeff Hobson. Scotty out.